Good morning and welcome to each and every one of you, particularly our visitors. We are glad that you're here, and please come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Week before last, we studied from this chapter about David and the Goliath that he faced. I want to review with you a little bit about that, but then notice another giant that he faced, as do we. 1 Samuel 17, verse 4, "And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, or about 9 foot 9 inches. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of that coat of mail was 5,000 shekels of bronze, between 125, 150 pounds or so. The Philistine said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day,'" verse 10, "'give me a man that we may fight together.'" And David, the shepherd boy, was the one who responded to this challenge. Verse 40, "David took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones. From the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." But I want to suggest to you this morning that Goliath was not the only giant that David faced that day. In fact, he faced many giants, one of which was the giant of discouragement. And that is certainly a giant that you and I face today, discouragement. Discouragement from doing what God wants us to do. How do we face this giant? How can we defeat the giant of discouragement? I'd like for us to examine again 1 Samuel 17 from that vantage point of how David faced that giant of discouragement as he faced the giant Goliath. And I believe we'll see some things that can help us as we face the giant of discouragement in our lives. But notice the sources from which David received discouragement. The first source of discouragement was from his family. We read in verse 28, "Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David and said, 'Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle.'" You'll remember that Jesse had sent David to check on his three oldest brothers who were fighting with Saul's army and Israel. And David comes and he hears Goliath's challenge and he's asking, "What is all this? Why is this man defying the armies of Israel, the armies of the Lord?" And Eliab, his oldest brother, hears this and he asks some questions. Examine those questions a little more closely with me. "Why did you come down here?" The sense is, what are you doing here anyway? And I believe by this question, he's attacking David's motives for being present. And then he asks, "With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness?" And my guess is the emphasis is on those few sheep. Why have you left that lowly job of taking care of just those few amount of sheep to come out here? He's trying to humiliate David and to make David feel very, very low. But then he says, as he just tries to really get at David, "I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. I know that you're a proud person and that you're wicked at heart. You came here for the excitement. You just wanted to see the battle." So here is David's oldest brother discouraging him from what no doubt is already on the heart of David, and that is to go out and face this giant on behalf of Israel and defeat him with God's help. But as he's discouraged even by his family, how does David cope with it? How does he deal with discouragement? David's response, verse 29, David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause? Or what? What have I done? Can't I even speak?" But notice the very next verse. "Then he turned from him," he turned away from him toward another and said the same thing. "And these people answered him as the first ones did." You put it all together and it seems to me David, He says, I'm just asking a question. But instead of giving in to Eliab's discouragement, he goes on about his business. He turns away from Eliab and gets back to that matter that's concerning him, that matter of that giant Goliath. What do we learn from that? We learn that when people try to discourage us, sometimes we just need to turn away from them, ignore them, and get on doing what God wants us to be doing. Even when that discouragement at times can come from our families. I believe Jesus warned about this very thing in Matthew chapter 10. Some challenging words here. Sobering words. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth, he says. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What is Jesus saying here? I've come to not to bring peace, but a sword. And you're going to find enemies even within your own household. Is Jesus saying that one of the purposes of his coming was to split families wide open? Certainly not. It's only through Jesus and the principles that he gives us that we can develop strong families. And it is so helpful when our whole family is serving the same God and we find that encouragement from one another in doing so. But sometimes, not all of our family is going to do that. Sometimes when a family member chooses to follow Jesus, there are going to be some other family members that may try to discourage him or her from doing so. And then we realize the truth of Jesus' statement, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. And he's issuing this challenge to us, giving us this instruction. You got to love me more than anyone else. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. We must love Jesus supremely with an unrivaled love. So yes, at times, even within our families, there may be some that are not choosing to follow Jesus and try to discourage us from doing the same. How are we to respond? Let's learn from David. Eliab said some discouraging things to him in what he felt was God's will for him to defeat that giant. What did David do? He turned away and went on doing what God wanted him to do. That's the appropriate response. You see, not only because we're to do the will of God, but also when there are other, even within our families, some who have not made that decision in their lives to follow Jesus. Many times it is by our consistent example that they eventually may be led to Christ. Let me tell you something that will not work. Is if we say, I'm a follower of Christ, I'm a Christian, and then we receive that discouragement from our family members and they're trying to get us not to make that commitment. And we give in and then therefore our commitment is only shallow at best. In that state, folks, it's not likely at all that we'll have an influence on our family. It's only when we make that commitment, whether you're with me or not, I've got to love Jesus supremely. And that becomes a matter of our own salvation, but also a matter of our influence upon those around us, family and friends. You may be in a family where you are in the minority as far as those who are following Christ. May we learn from David to don't give in to discouragement. Don't allow your commitment to become shallow. But resolve in your heart, I'm going to follow Jesus. And I'm going to pray that my family chooses to do the same. Notice the second source from which David received discouragement. He received discouragement from the king. You see, David's conversation with these men in Israel's army got back to Saul. And Saul is told, here's a man who's speaking very courageous words. And so Saul sends for David. And David says to Saul, King Saul, I'll go. Verse 32, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Well, Saul, he's probably glad to have somebody willing to do so. But he sees David and he knows his occupation has been one of a shepherd. He says, you're not prepared to go into battle. Listen to his words, verse 33. Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he's a man of war from his youth. You'll remember that it's then that Saul takes his armor and tries to place it on David, so that he may have some defense as he goes out and faces Goliath. But the armor hasn't been tested. David hasn't tested it. It's likely too big for David. And so David rejects Saul's offer. But notice David's response, as even the king discourages him and says, you're but a youth. He's been a warrior from his youth. Look at David's response, verse 34. Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. What's David doing here? He's drawing back and he's thinking back in his life when he's faced some giants in the form of a lion and a bear and how God has given him the victory over them. And isn't his reasoning this? God has helped me in the past defeat those giants, and I know that he'll help me now in the present. He goes on to say, verse 37, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. You see, when we're facing our giants, we forget what we ought to remember and remember what we ought to forget. What do we remember so often is but our failures. Oh, I'm facing this terrible giant, even this giant of discouragement. I'm hearing it from my family. I'm hearing it from those whom I have loved and respected through the years. They're telling me I can't do this. I can't live for Christ. And I look back on my life and I see those times when I had made that commitment, but I've fallen short. And so I remember I failed in the past, so I'm probably going to fail again. What we should remember, however, are the victories that we have had, that we've enjoyed by God's blessing. I remember when, yes, I had made this commitment to Christ, but then I was faced with this temptation. But I prayed to my Lord and He helped me and I was able to resist that temptation. And if He helped me defeat that giant of temptation then I know He can help me defeat this giant that I'm facing even now. You see, David recalled how God had been with him in the past. He knew He would be with him in the present to endure any challenge, any giant that he might face. You and I can have this same encouragement, that same assurance. Don't let what others may say about your youth keep you from serving God now. Isn't that what Paul told Timothy? Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. I hope that you, if you don't know our young people, that you will get to know them. Because I have seen, witnessed with my own eyes and ears, time and time again, how our young people have taken a stand for Christ. How our young people have been an example in service at Bible camp, during vacation Bible school, in the school environment, at work, wherever they may go. And they're not the church of tomorrow. They're included in the church of today. And we can learn a lot from our young people about what it means to be evangelistic, what it means to take a stand for Christ, what it means to be willing to step out of our comfort zones in order to live for Christ and to speak for Him. Young people, don't let what others may say, oh, you're too young, keep you from doing what God wants you to do. And folks, let's not allow discouragement from others, no matter what age we may find ourselves. Don't allow that discouragement to cause us to quit. Even when it comes from people with a lot of authority, like the king or the president himself. But thirdly, David also received discouragement from his enemy. This is when he goes out and faces the giant Goliath. Verse 41, the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. The man who bore the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. He disdained him. Other versions translate that phrase, he despised him. He scorned him. He sneered with contempt at him. He made fun of him. He looked down on David with disgust. And with that in mind, he said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, verse 44, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Come on, when I'm finished with you, I'll feed you to the birds and to the wild animals. Goliath saw in David nothing worth worrying about. An easy match here. And so even in the face of his enemy, David received discouragement. And folks, we have an enemy that's always going to seek to discourage us from following God. He may do it in many different ways, but he's going to make sure there's discouragement to keep us from following God. It may come in the form of people, even family members, as we have noted. It may come in the form of co-workers on the job that are not trying to live for Christ, and they mock us because of the commitments that we've made. It may come through different temptations or you name it, but Satan's going to make sure, our enemy's going to make sure that there are plenty of discouragements out there for us. There's an old fable that says that Satan once held a sale and offered all the tools of his trade. And there spread out on the table, and each one labeled, was hatred, malice, envy, despair, sickness, temptation. But then off to the side lay a harmless wedge-shaped instrument marked discouragement. And it, above all the others, was well-worn. It could be seen that obviously it had been used a great deal. And the price that was labeled to this tool of Satan was far above all the price of the rest of his tools. And he was asked why in this fable. And he responded, because I can use this one so much more easily than the others. No one knows that it belongs to me, so with it I can open doors that are tightly bolted against the others. Once I can get inside, I can use any tool that suits me best. Discouragement is one of Satan's most powerful tools. If he can discourage us, then he can tempt us to do wrong. He can tempt us to go back on our commitment that we've made to Christ. He can cause us to not have those safeguards, those mindsets that are following after God, but now we're weak and we're to the point where we can give in easily to those temptations. Satan will always seek to discourage us. But how did David respond to this giant of discouragement, even from the giant himself? David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. This day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to all the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. Goliath, you said you're going to feed me to the birds. No, it's going to be the whole Philistine army that's going to be fed to the birds. Not because of my strength, but because I come to you in the name of the Lord. Verse 47, then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not say with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. And you know the rest of the story, how God did give Goliath into his hands and the Philistine army. How did David respond to discouragement even from his enemy? He trusted God. He had his training. He had his tools, those with which he was familiar, that sling and those stones. Training, tools, and trust. These are the three things that undergirded David's courage. But trust was that major factor which set his courage apart from his fellow Israelites. He trusted God for the victory. David said, I remind you, verse 37, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. I trust God to help me defeat my giant. You see, to overcome discouragement, we need to have that same resolve. We're going to do God's will, and we're going to trust him to help us defeat our giants. I believe this is a motto that may be used to summarize David's mindset here, and it's a motto by which you and I need to live today. Trust in the Lord and do what's right. Trust in the Lord and do what's right. No matter what giants may enter into your life that may seek to defeat you, even this giant of discouragement, what's our response to be? Trust in the Lord and do what's right. And he will give us the victory. No, Goliath wasn't the only giant that David faced. He faced this giant of discouragement, as must we. But I like this statement. David's eyes weren't on the giant. His eyes were fixed on God. And he trusted God for the victory. May I ask us this morning, where's our focus? Where's our focus? Is it on the discouragement that we may have received even this past week? Is it on those other giants that we have to face because we live in this world? Or is our focus on God, who is greater than any of those giants, and who has promised us if we will submit our lives to him in trusting obedience, he will give us the victory. He provided Jesus to defeat our greatest giant, the giant of sin, whereby we may have forgiveness of our sins and the hope of eternal life, if we'll just surrender our lives to him. If you need to respond in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to become a child of God this morning, or if you're facing some giants in your life, If someone or circumstances have discouraged you and caused you to turn back from following the Lord, and you want to get back on track and you need the prayers of the church to that end, won't you let that be known? And let's pray together that God will help us defeat our giants. Won't you come to right now as we stand and sing?